Hey,
Love
God bless
Talk
you
Radio.
On the radio. We thank God. We come to say to those of us who are listening here, we thank God for the opportunity to let God still know He's God. And I say to you, to those who are on the line who are listening to us, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. And I believe tonight God still has a great, He has a great camaraderie of believers. And tonight we want to talk to, allow a husband and wife talk to the people on the radio station. And I will just say to them, God bless y'all. I thank y'all are here. Y'all ready?
Yeah, we're here.
Hello.
Hi, Willie. Myrna and Gilbert are here.
Okay. Well, praise God. It's up to you. The show is now by what God has put on your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the living God. Amen, amen.
Well, I would like to, I guess, open up the show with some prayer and just again, thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here together in our home and sharing with everybody what He has done for us in our marriage, and just ask the Holy Spirit to speak through us and to show His light through us, not what we want, but what He wants and His will and His thoughts. And I ask that in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the living God. Well, we're just thanking God for everything. Amen.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week of reflection and responsibility. God's been showing me a lot about our responsibility as individuals and as a married couple and what we do with that responsibility. A lot of us spend time looking for the answers in things of the world, but we fall, you know, that all falls short of what God has in store for us. The key question I keep asking myself is, what have I done with the things that God has provided for us? Because everything that we have, He's provided for us, including our peace and, you know, things that, that can't be bought in this world. And so what are you doing with those things, tangible and intangible? You know, they're given to you because you're responsible, because you're a good steward of them. And if you look at those and you look at what, doing with them what God has asked you to do, then, of course, He'll give you more. So I guess the key question to everybody out there is, what are you doing with the things that God has given you? What are you doing with your gifts and talents? What are you doing with, the tangible things that we have in this world? What are you doing with the things intangible? Are you sharing with people what He's asked you to share? Are you giving back when He's asked you to give? Not when you want to give, but when He's asked you to give. And just an inner reflection of what that responsibility is. And I think that if you, like I know when I looked at myself, I found that I was being irresponsible with all the things that He's given me. And it wasn't until I was willing to actually talk about that irresponsibility out loud to other people was I able to be set free and to be able to go to that next level of where He wanted us to be. So it's just a matter of being very real and very honest and very vulnerable about the things that we've done in our past, not to persecute us or to make us feel less than or any way, shape, or form, but to take us to that next level and to use it as an opportunity to empathize with people and help them understand how God is loving and He is merciful and peaceful and all of those things. Because there is no shame in it. There's shame. That shame, if you're feeling shame about it, that's coming from somebody, from the enemy trying to keep you from moving forward. So we have to really learn to recognize where those thoughts are coming from and who they're coming from.
Amen. Amen. Well, I know tonight has been a this the past week to where we are right now, I know that God is moving all of us in the direction that he would have us as believers to be a part of. And it is up to us to, as you pointed out, it's up to us to say, well, let's take what God has given us and make the best of it. But as we continue to in the body while we're here on this earth, we must continue to press. And see, will you go to Psalm 49, please?
Hold on a second. Gail's going to go downstairs and get our Bible. Go ahead.
Because I want you to, I think it's in about the third or fourth verse on down in there. It's talking about the psalmist beginning to explain certain things that are happening. And we see our country in the same diadem and ignorance and stupidity and won't hear and won't believe God. They want to do what they want to do. So, and we just keep praying.
Yeah, that is embedded in all of us. That was in us before we came to God. Remember that.
I know.
That's who I was before I came to God. And here's the thing is that it took God to reach me. It didn't take. Remember, I told you I was stubborn as all get out. I didn't. I wouldn't listen to anybody. I didn't want to listen to anybody. And it took God literally taking me down to my knees and breaking me in all areas of my life for me to pay attention. And for everybody, it's different, but it is very, very personal. And it's meant to be personal because that's the only way you can intimately know who he is. That's the only way you can build a relationship intimately with God, because that's what it's all about. And the country, one by one, if we can be that example and share, like we're sharing right now on the phone, vulnerably about who we are and where we've come from, then one by one, maybe another person will be willing to step out in courage, like God has given us the courage to be able to do this. We cannot do this without him. Not under my own strength and my own will either. Because every week, we don't plan on what we're going to say. We just let the Holy Spirit speak to us. We let it speak through. I don't plan anything anymore. My plans are no good.
Well, I just keep being patient with God and whatever God is doing. And I will tell you that the more I see God doing something through me, the more I surrender to him. I surrender because, amen. Do you have that scripture yet?
My husband's looking for it. It's called Living a Surrendered Life. It's it's Psalms 43, verse 3.
No, 49.
49.
Yes. Since the people are listening to us, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Amen, amen.
My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The utterance from my heart, understanding.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I hear it. Go. We read on. When you get to the point, I will say this. Go ahead.
Keep going.
I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp, I will expound my riddle. Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in their great riches. No man can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that wise men die, the foolish and the senseless alike perish and leave their wealth to others.
Amen. So that's what we're facing in the time we live in. We got more in the world, as you and the sister have said. It's a day by day. It's a moment by moment. But there are people who still believe that they're caught up in the high society, the low society. But who can pay for my soul? No man can, but Jesus' Son did. And it's so important. It is so important. A young man came today, was going up to the park, and I was sitting there talking with another minister. And we were just talking about the goodness of God. And he was on the phone with his wife, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, pray for that young man. I said, come here, son. I know him, but I've always wanted to just lay hands on him. And so I laid hands on him and prayed for him. Before I prayed for him, I asked him where he go to church. Has he been to church? What is he doing? The only thing he could tell me was, he said, yes, I believe. When I prayed for him, laid hands on him, I had to, and sitting on the driveway, you know where I live, with the driveway with a chair, I had to take my foot and hold him back from falling down. He said, yeah, I don't know what you did, but I know it's But I said, that's God trying to get you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got people in the world. We got people who are in the body of Christ. When the Spirit tells them to do something, they won't do it. Some people won't. Amen?
Yeah, that's true. But I can't do anything that God, unless God has told me to do it, no matter how much
that's
I want to help.
Why. Right, yeah, that's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I'm saying.
It doesn't matter how much I want to help. It doesn't matter how much I want to be a part of. It doesn't matter, any of those motives. If God hasn't told me to move, then I'm not going to move. And, I can get pressure from all different directions. We can get pressure from all different directions. God will let you know if you're going in the right spot.
Yeah. And that's all God wants to be.
Yeah.
That's all he wants. He wants us undivided attention to know that we know that we know. And see, the more I study God's word, the more I see and hear God speaking directly to me. And normally, by me just down there cascading, I had to be up, as they say, I had to be listening to the Holy Spirit to pray for that young man.
Yeah.
And he knows me, and I talk with him. Because I see in the world we live today, there are going to be a lot of them lost because we, inclusive, for the fivefold, we've got to hit the banner and say, hey, Jesus is on his way back. Want to help you to get ready. Because when he come back, he said, behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the thing we need to do is try to, as much as we can, as I say, don't be on the pause. Stay ready. It's like getting ready for a track meet.
Yeah.
Stay in your lane, stay in your lane, and you finish your race out. And I would believe that's what we are saying tonight. Amen?
Amen. And you know, you hit on something about being ready that requires spending time with God on a daily basis.
Yes.
And I know a lot of people are very, 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 very busy. My husband and I are very busy. But we still, every morning, I get in my prayer closet, he gets in his prayer closet, and we spend time with God in the morning, every single morning. And I know for me, when I go to sleep at night, my whole focus and all of my thoughts, I don't think about what I have to do tomorrow. I don't think about what I did today. I don't think about what I have to do next week. Thoughts when I go to sleep. And this is what gives me so much peace, is to think about God while I'm going to sleep. And I just pray and think about God. It could be the Lord's Prayer. It could be a scripture. It could be just a prayer that I say over and over and over in my head until I fall asleep. And guess what? When I wake up, I'm saying that same prayer when I get up in the morning. And so,
amen.
I don't, you know, those are just the things that he has shown me that work for me when I go to sleep. I don't worry about, you know, the day's activities for tomorrow. I don't think about what's going to happen or how it's going to happen, because he's given us so much peace in our daily lives. And that's the other thing that I've noticed, is that if we do things when we're doing them, whether they're in the church or at work or whatever it is we're doing, if we have peace about what it is we're doing, then it's from God. But if it causes nothing but frustration and anger and bitterness, are you there? Anger and bitterness and all those things, it's not from him.
You know, one of the things that I would say, I believe in this hour that we're now living, we're seeing things that are happening so fast. It makes us become aware of what God is saying to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I read the Word of God, where God says, in the book that the Apostle Paul writes, he says, Paul, note, he should have put a notice all of us. He says, not by the will of man, not by the persuasion of people, but by the Father God and Jesus Christ, I am appointed an apostle. And nowadays, we just have to gird up in our spirit, man. As you point, you got to find some time, quality time, to be with God. It may be that time for you to be. God has always, he all has a different assignment for all of us. But the assignment meets the same goal. Finish the cross.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be, you know, hours and hours and hours of.
Some get an evening. But all he wants to do is spend quality time with him.
Yeah, exactly.
And we think when we cannot spend quality time, we're negating what God has for us to do.
Yeah. And like I said, it doesn't have to be, you know, long periods of time. It's, you know, in the morning, just, you know, spending your time and giving your will and your thoughts over to him. And like I said, it's called living a surrendered life. And my husband and I help each other with that. You know, iron sharpens iron. And, you know, if we see each other, we help each other with whatever it is that we need help with. So, and we call each other on our stuff because, you know, we're still human. And we still get, you know, don't think we're perfect because we're not. We're not perfect. We've been married 25 years. We've known each other for 34 years. And I'm doing all the one that's talking. That's usually how it is. And then all of a sudden I'll be quiet and Gil will just go bloop. And there's the big word of wisdom that pops out of him. So, you know. But,
well, I know about you with your husband. I know how you sit there quiet. He don't say who it just sit there. He said, okay, I hear you, I'm listening.
Yeah.
And that's what's needed in the family, the married family.
Mm-hmm.
To coexist together. And as I put it on the Facebook, I told people, we got a husband and a wife and they want to talk about the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I said a man / woman in America that are thinking about converting to marriages. I said, don't y'all let the wrath of God fall upon America. I said, you people have got some sense, at least try to tell some people, because we are going to be here. Paul said, he says, I must stand. He said, I'm persuaded to tell somebody what thus said the Lord. And, you know, God has a way of moving us from point to point to point to point, checkpoint,
mm-hmm.
checkpoint, checkpoint, to do what needs to be done. Because what you can do, I can't do it. What you can do, I can do it. But But God has given us all responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So I've
Good and tough, good and tough. Honey?
Willie, there's something I wanted to touch on. And in the morning when I got into my prayer closet, my Heavenly Father has told me not to just be praying for myself and for my family. He wanted to hear me pray for others, total strangers.
Yeah.
I said, Father, I'm praying for strangers. I said, have your will with me. Go for it. Shoot. I go to work, and a gentleman at work tells me that his brother is real sick, and that he's got to go out of town to Corpus Christi because he might not even live through the weekend.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So I took that to heart, and I walked over, and I just did a silent prayer for this man's brother and prayed for healing for him. I've never even seen the man before in my life. I just followed the direction of God to pray for this stranger. And that was about 3 weeks ago. And this past week,
Amen.
The guy at work told me, you know, my brother came home, and he's at home, and he's fine. And the doctors don't know how he made it, and he wasn't supposed to make it through the weekend. And I laughed.
That's our God. That's our God.
That's my God that took care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't anything but Almighty God that healed him and brought him
back
to his house.
What Gilbert isn't telling you is that 2-3 years ago, he had an incident with Bell's palsy. We thought he was having a stroke, and he wasn't having a stroke, but we went to the emergency room. And we were fairly new at all of this and really, you know, searching for God. And we went into the emergency room, and the emergency room doctor told him that he had Bell's palsy and that, you know, it would take him 6 months to maybe 2 years, maybe never, for the paralysis to cease.
My whole left.
Uh-huh. His whole left side of his face was paralyzed. And Gil refused to believe what the doctor said, and it actually made him pretty angry. He came home and went into his prayer closet every single day asking God for healing and reciting Isaiah 58:8. And within 2 weeks, and Christmas Eve, we went to my sister's house, and he stayed home. And Gil cried out to the Lord. I mean, he wailed out to the Lord. And I didn't
Amen.
Know this until not too long ago. And he told me. And within 2 weeks, my husband was completely healed on the left side of his face.
See,
completely
that's God.
Healed.
That's
so
God.
He knows. It's more than believing. He knows, just like I know, what God can do.
Amen. Amen. Well, let me ask this question. Go ahead.
I smile from ear to ear now. No paralyzed.
Amen. Well, can I open up the line and let the wisdom and understanding and knowledge that y'all have with some
mm-hmm.
people y'all may want to speak to?
Sure.
We got a call on. Are you there? Hello? Okay, I guess I just want to listen. But anyway, I will thank God for the attitude that the husband and wife have, and all we can do is just pray for the unification of a husband and wife, because we're noticing that the rate is going up, marriage, divorce, the child doesn't know his papa, father, the mother doesn't know. And it is a robust of any movement against the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to just come together every so often and say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done.
Yeah, that's
Somebody,
my prayer. Yeah.
It's my prayer. And I say this, you know, And sometimes I don't even leave the house. I just stay here inside the house because I'm overcoming. But I get a chance to sit down and talk with God, and I can hear God plainly. And if people say, how do you speak? I say, you got to be in a quiet place.
Mm-hmm.
When God starts speaking to you, he brings in manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
Let you see things because he wants you to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know I've been, I will say this to the body of Christ. Thus far, we're doing good, but we can do better.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, we can do better. See, what problem me, my beloved sister and brother, brother and sister, we in America can take what we have and go to the other country right here in America. We got all kind of issues. We got to first make home. My mother and daddy always told me, always make sure home is safe and ready.
Yeah.
Then you can go next door. And I mean, is that right or wrong or what? But I've done it all my life. And I watch God just, Amen, amen.
You know, there's a couple of things that, you know, when Gil was touching on that he said that, you know, when he was talking about reaching out to God, and it boils back down to that intimate relationship that you have between a husband and a wife. You also have that intimate relationship between you and God. And some things that he really showed me as a wife is that I am not smarter than God. I am not smarter than him. And Gil talked about praying for other people and not just for our own selfish wants and needs. But God already knows what we want. Okay? He's not a superficial God either.
No.
He wants, and when you realize that he's a superficial God, the prayers become deeper and the relationship becomes more intimate and more deep. And so when you get outside of yourself and start thinking about what other people need and what other people want, thinking about your needs and your wants, that's when God moves. That's when he takes care of everything, and I mean everything that you need. You don't have to worry about anything anymore, and that's what a surrendered life is that you just accept what God is giving you, and you move on, and you never take it for granted, and you always give him thanks. And those are the things that he's shown to me about our marriage and about life in and of itself.
Amen. You know, if I may say this to in the conversation with the same preacher that they came by, we were talking. Matter of fact, he's a pastor. And he said to me, he says, well, I know God is doing some things and I'm watching him. I said, He stood up and told me that was because I'd always get on him about letting his wife do certain things. Close him to the preacher. I said, let your wife do some things. God has given us something to do. I said, now, if you want to fight, we can fight, because I'm ready to, you know, that's how I was. I was real gentle, but I was pointed. And so he finally allowed her to come up and to give a word of the Lord and to teach the word and preach the word. And he discovered that she has such an anointing on her. He said, I'm going to stand away now. He said, I just get out the way. I said, because you must realize she is flesh of your flesh when you got married. And you've been married X number of years this year. And then he said, I had to do a funeral. He said, but I'm having a problem with a lot of these Baptist preachers. I said, well, welcome aboard. he said, what you mean, welcome aboard? I said, some of these people have been walking down the street for a long, long time. They ain't going to come on and talk about nothing but go to hooping and hollering and making you want to shout. Give me some meat. Give me some solid word. Now, when it's time for me to have some baby, you know, nurse me, bring me up. And I told him, I said, well, look, brother, my prayers are with you. Stay on the firing line. Stay on the firing line. He says, and I stopped doing the funeral. that I was going to have to preach these. And I asked a question. He says, let me ask this question of everybody. He said, y'all say that y'all got a lot of people that are sick. He said, yes, as you know. He says, and he told me, he said, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit put him in the Zoom type. The Holy Spirit put him in check. And he says, he obeyed God. He said he don't know how many people he got phone calls from that he they thanked him for obeying God.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes when we disobey God, we don't follow his true line, because it's straight up and down. Ain't nothing crooked about God's word.
No.
And it blessed me. It blessed me. I mean, to know that somebody's out there. Here's a pastor. You know, I've been laboring with him for a long, long time. Now he's coming into the spiritual knowledge.
Yeah.
A big church, and I tell him, I said, we're going to come over there, and me and the gang, I said, the gang of hope, faith, and truth, and we're going to whoop the devil upside the head, backwards and frontwards.
Well,
I said,
you know,
it's going
to
take.
It's time to distinguish between what man has taught and what God is teaching, and point everybody back to God, not what man has taught. There's a big difference.
But you know, one other thing I noticed as he was talking to me, and he says, "Well, you know, so and so." See, I said, "Yeah, I know him." He said, "What you think about him?" I don't have any thoughts about him. I'm praying for him. I'm praying that he will become enlightened.
Yeah.
I'm praying that he will come with understanding, because some of these Baptist preachers, some of these Methodists, some of the preachers, as a matter of fact, they don't want to hear nothing but what they want to hear.
Yeah.
They don't want to step out into the arena and go and read the Bible, read the book, and study it and look what Jesus' life was and see why you fit in there, and go back to the Old Testament and put it in there and let it download to you. But no, because I can say this from where I was, but now God. And Paul said, I counted all that done that I may gain the more excellent of Jesus Christ. The more knowledge I know of God, the more I can say, thank you, Lord. The more I submit, the more I can love it. Because God calls us to a level. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, as long as we just keep pointing them back to God, pointing them back to Jesus, pointing them back to the Bible. That is the one source, the one point them back.
Amen. And you know what I say to those who listen? I see Facebook has some big issues, but Facebook, I've sit and I talk myself that. I taught myself some other things through much prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding out that a lot of people are on the Facebook because they're nothing but, in other words, I'm going to say it in a nice way, they're liars and they're thieves. But you got, I got to pray for them. Somebody sent me a nice, I open up the Facebook, I said, oh, no, I don't need to know, this or do this. No, that's so. I said, delete. I'm for looking for those who want to know Jesus Christ. And the next generation. Oh, I forgot, I don't know if I told y'all or not. You know, I'm going to be a grandpa next year, the Zoom type. Y'all know I'm going to be a grandpa next year.
Yes.
Congratulations. That's awesome. This is your first one?
Yes, this is the first one of my son. And I'm just as happy and just sitting praying and thanking God. My wife said, well, you better just kind of lighten up some of us, I ain't. Because when he comes into this world, it's going to be something different. And I just thank God, doing good. I mean, I'm just excited. The day my son was born. And I just told him, I said, the day you was born, I was excited. And now you'll be excited now. So it'll be passed on to you. Amen. And I just keep telling people that I love. I'm going to do what God called me to do. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to look back. Because
mm-hmm.
when you put your hands on the plow and look back, these were not words of the kingdom.
Yeah.
I want what God's going to give me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do what God's going to do me. I
mm-hmm.
do.
Yep.
And I will say it in this fashion. The more we believe what God can do, the more. See, many people are, but I say, okay, I hear what you say. Will you please see what God has told me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they, you know. So I said, okay. So I've learned to get a close to God and a few people that I let in my circle.
Yeah.
Because some people are not ready. They're not ready.
No.
They're not ready. They're set on what they want to do.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is let it be known. Because I thank God for y'all. Y'all took your time by doing what it, but I was praying. I said, Lord, I need a couple that is love and love with you, in love with putting the word out to say and tell, and y'all finally accepted. I thank God.
Yeah.
I thank God for both of y'all.
Thank you. We thank
y'all
you, too.
Y'all know how y'all make me feel so full of, so full of joy. Yes, indeed. And then if you come over to my house, you'll see the big tree was out. It's gone. When the water when the water line broke,
it came
about 2 feet from my foundation.
Wow.
The water was 5 feet deep. It was so much water coming out of there. And
I
called the city and got on the tow. They said, well, we know you're a city employee. I said, you know what? That's why when you're in the body of Christ, you know what needs to be done. You don't have to call on nobody. You know what needs to be done. But
yeah.
I mean, 2 feet from my foundation, I told myself, y'all going to bring me at least 6 loads of dirt, and you're going to repack it. I want it packed. If it's slow, I said, y'all got a penalty. My wife told me, so, don't be so hard. I said, no. I want it the same way God said it. God put me as watching over it. I'm not going to let somebody come and tear it up.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know it's going to burn, but I'm the watchman.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. I'm the watchman. Any final words you want to say to anybody listening out there?
Oh, yeah, Willie. For the married couples that are having a little problems, I'm sure we all do, but if you spend maybe together and just open up the Bible and read verses from Psalms, start at the beginning if you have to, and just read a few chapters together. You read one phrase, let her read the next phrase. Just do it nightly for about 5 or 10 minutes. So you finish all that Psalm book, and it will strengthen your marriage.
Amen.
Your outlook of life, and rent a movie like Fireproof.
Fireproof
is a real strong movie.
It's good
for
us. I've seen it, but what I sit down and we should be both sit down and watch that one. We watch it, but it brings us closer together. And all we want is the more God has for not only me, but everybody that's out there, every perfect family. It's only perfect in heaven because y'all have to work on things that get y'all to a point where sometimes I know from where I stand for it, I can speak for myself. Sometimes I don't want to do what my wife wants me to do, but I find myself going ahead and doing it. I said, well, maybe it's me. And I said, Lord, if it's you, I'm going to do it. And I just remember what the Bible said, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did he love it? He gave his life for it. He did everything. And so it's incumbent upon us as men to love them, to treat them nice. Every now and then I go out in the back, I pull a rose bush and clip it off or something in the front and put in the water thing here. And she said, oh, she don't know I'll be listening. He still remember. That makes me feel like stick my chest out, you know.
You're learning, Willie. Really. You're learning.
I used to bring every Friday night. We used to do some dancing together on the classic music. We like the war tools, you know. We like to do the dance. We do that soul music, and I told her, I said, "You stop dancing with me." She said, "No, you just got lazy. You didn't want to dance." So I said, "Whoop." Amen. And your final words are, married couple, Mr. and Mrs. Trevino, your last words tonight to somebody who's listened.
Be kind to each other. Just treat each other like you would treat Christ if he was standing right there in front of you. If you see Christ in your husband and your husband sees Christ in you, you are not going to do anything to mistreat him. You're not going to do anything to be selfish. You're going to fall out and do whatever Christ asks you to do, because you love him. And when you see that in each other, how can you say a harsh word? How can you be mean? How can you be selfish? You can't, because God, Jesus, is in each other, and we always have to remember that. When you're going to say an angry word, just picture Christ. You'll stop.
Amen.
You will stop.
Amen.
So I just ask that
well,
every Mary comes out here to see that. Mm-hmm.
Stephen, I said, the peace of God still be with him until we meet again.
Okay.
And the Lord love you, and see you next one tonight. Amen.
Okay. 8 o'clock or 7?
Well, I'm going to make for sure, because they somebody went and made a change on my programming, but I'll get it all taken care of tomorrow. I'm going to call the radio station. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I'll send you an email, okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
God bless y'all. Good night.
You too.
Remember, tomorrow is another day. It's a better day. We believe our God is going to be in charge of us, and we thank him once again, because there's none like him. And I will just leave these words to those who listen. Tonight was a night of silence, so we could be in with God, see what's around us, and thank God for all the things he's doing for us and through us. And remember, the Lord loves you, and I do too. Amen. So next time, we just thank God for everything he has done for us and through us. I want to thank God for the husband and wife that's on there tonight, and some words of encouragement were given. And I know that we know that we're in a time where the body of Christ needs to pray more, be earnest about what God is doing for us and through us. There's nobody love us, but God loves us better. So my word to you is, beloved, stay prayerful and keep believing on God until such time. God bless you.